Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. And for all those joining us live this evening at our YouTube channel and all our social media feeds, we say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. A very entertaining, tightly wound battle between the Winnipeg Jets and the Montreal Canadiens this evening. The Jets taking the 4-3 victory in overtime. Nikolaj Ehlers with the OT winner after the Jets blow both 2-0 and 3-1 leads, and the Habs tie it up with just over a minute to go in the third period. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, joined by Ezra Ginsberg. Dave Manuk is joining us from the arena where he just watched the game in person. Gentlemen, I would have thought that I'd be sick of watching games between the Jets and the Canadiens after all these games they played in the last little bit. But tonight's contest was an entertaining game again.
Yeah, absolutely. The Jets didn't make it easy on themselves, right, by giving up that late goal. But, you know, give the Canadiens credit, guys. Like, there were a lot of elements of this game that were the polar opposite, right? Like, it was Montreal that was struggling with the turnovers, and it was Connor Hellebuyck who was outplaying Carey Price as opposed to a couple of nights ago, right? And you got the feeling in that third period, like, especially, you know, you could see that on the Brendan Gallagher goal that got the Canadiens within one, right? You could see that, you know, the Jets were hanging on for dear life there, and you know that they're going to get on a plane and head out to Alberta to play the Oilers tomorrow night. You know that they were, you know, hoping to squeeze that victory out in the third period, but, you know, full marks to the Montreal Canadiens. I thought Corey Perry had a fantastic game, guys, and he got rewarded by moving up on that Nick Suzuki line from the fourth line. So, you know, give Montreal credit. Tyler Toffoli, 18 goals, just an incredible story. I mean, what an off-season pickup by the Montreal Canadiens. But you're absolutely right, Drew. I mean, these teams, you know, they like to go to overtime. And, you know, give Nick Ehlers credit. I mean, Jeff Petrie has a great chance. Connor Hellebuyck makes a nice save. Petrie's obviously caught up ice. And then, obviously, Phil Deneau, you know, goes for a line change. Jonathan Drouin doesn't have time to come back. The Jets are on an odd man rush. And we know Nikolaj Ehlers, when he has time and space like that, he's got the great shot. So, obviously, you know, they didn't make it easy, as I mentioned. But, you know, at the end of the day, they get the 2 points. And that's really important because Edmonton's leading Calgary right now. And as we know, the Jets and Oilers are currently tied.
You're absolutely,
I guess, not
right.
not necessarily right now, but if the Oilers win, they will be tied in points.
I understood what you were saying there. You know, it's amazing, Dave, this Montreal Canadiens team just loves to go to overtime. They don't necessarily love to win games because they don't have a great record now, 13-8-8 on the season. But, you know, when you only win 13 of your 29 games, but you take at least another 8 of those into overtime, that's why they're currently in a playoff spot as opposed to teams like Vancouver and Calgary who, you know, lose outright. Montreal tends to not lose outright. You know, they get full marks for the point that they earned. They might even say that they deserve more than that. But, you know, the Jets are able to get the game into overtime, and you sort of get the feeling that the Jets were very happy for overtime to go on, because had there been much more time left in regulation in the third period, you wonder if the Habs would have been able to win this in regulation as opposed to lose it in overtime, where the Jets are just so good.
Yeah, I think it was almost like a tale of two cities. It felt like it was a reversal of last game, the way the Jets came out. They started last game off well, but obviously Montreal was the one who kind of had the early success after that. The Jets were able to kind of do that, and they built. But, you know, the reality was in the third period, it just didn't feel like the Jets could get much of anything going. It really did feel like Montreal was in it the entire period. There was maybe about a minute of sustained pressure, it felt like, in the Habs zone by the Jets' top line. And other than that, it really felt like the majority of that third period, they were just back on their heels and really weren't, you know, a team that looked, it didn't really look like the same team. It didn't look like the team that had come out in the second period, responded when they gave up the goal to make it a 2-1 game, scored that 3-1 goal. And you thought to yourself, okay, well, the Jets have been playing pretty well. This is a, you know, this is a good response game. They've played overall a pretty tidy game. And then that third period again, and, you know, obviously again, it's the Montreal team that wants to be in it. You know, like, they don't want to, like I said, it hasn't been a great road trip for them. Your point, true, they've got a lot of overtime games where they don't come away with points. And the reality is, and we talked about this, it's so critical to get regulation wins, right? I mean, this is a Jets team that wanted clean points. You don't want to give Montreal any life. You want them to go back home feeling kind of down in the dumps, because first of all, you've got a very tough game tomorrow night in Edmonton for Winnipeg. I mean, obviously Edmonton's playing this evening as well, but they don't have to, you know, do what Winnipeg has to do, which is finish their media availability, which is going on right now as we speak, and then get on a plane and go to Edmonton. So I think it's not the end of the world for Montreal. I mean, obviously you would have wanted to have better, but the Jets played a good game for the first couple of periods. It just thought the third period, it was all Montreal.
Well, yeah, you got to think that the media is going to be aware of that. There, it won't be one of those, you know, 10-minute scrums, right, Dave? But, you know, another thing to mention, like, you know, the third period, you know, possession-wise was the ice was tilted, as they say, right, in the Montreal Canadiens' favor. And, you know, it's hard to tell if, you know, the Jets were playing that poor defensively or if the Canadiens' pushback was that good, right? Because they were all over the Jets, right?
And I think it was a combination of the two. To your point, as I just wanted, you know, the numbers in that third period, if you look at the possession, the Habs had 73.8% of the Corsi four in that third period. The Jets had 26%. That's how one-sided that third period really was.
Right, and that's where the eye test and the analytics match up, right? Like, you didn't need to go to natural stat trick, which is obviously, you know, our go-to resource here, but you would know that the possession was definitely heavily in Montreal's favor. So, you know, give them a lot of credit. You know, Dave makes a good point. I mean, look at the Canadians are chasing the Jets. They're chasing the Oilers. I still think this Canadians team is a top three team in this division. I know that, you know, Edmonton is ahead of them right now, and they've played some more games, but I still think talent-wise, like, look at the acquisitions they've made. All these guys are excelling, right? Like, I realize, you know, the pair of Shea Weber and Joel Edmondson, they struggled a little bit out there. And, you know, the Brett Kulak, Jeff Petrie pair, Dave, that's their top pair, essentially, when you talk about, you know, their offensive and defensive impact. But Tyler Toffoli, Josh Anderson, Corey Perry, like, all of these guys had an impact in tonight's game, and they've had an impact, you know, for the majority of the season. So, you know, this Canadiens team is not an easy out. So, you know, give the Jets credit for hanging on here, you know, and getting the extra point in overtime. But, you know, it wasn't pretty. And it almost feels like, you know, we're talking about the same type of game as last weekend against Toronto, right? When it was the Connor Hellebuck show and he was responsible. You know, the save that Hellebuck makes on Yoel Armia there, it was almost like Hellebuck was saying, like, you know, he didn't even move. He just shot it into his glove. But the fact that he's in that position, Dave, you know, is why he's so good. But he made five or six really good saves in that third period. And obviously, you know, makes a nice save on Petrie in overtime. But Hellebuck was a good reason, a big reason, I should say, you know, why Montreal didn't win that game in regulation in the third period.
And in overtime, of course, that great save that Connor Hellebuck made there off Jeff Petrie before Nikolaj Ehlers took the puck back up the ice and caught the Habs in that line change. I mean, Connor Hellebuck certainly, again, another game to your point, Ezzy, that Hellebuck, the numbers don't look fantastic. He gives up three goals, but, you know, he was a rock in net when the Jets needed him to be, because, you know, like, you know, as we've talked about, they were holding on for dear life in that third period. You know, what struck me about this game is just how similar the start was to what we saw on Monday night. The Jets come out terrific to start that opening shift by, you know, the Scheifele, Stastny, Wheeler line, just like on Monday night. The only difference is this time they capitalize and boom, it's a 1-0 lead for the Winnipeg Jets very quickly. You have to love that kind of start from the team. And you know, that's, you know, the pinch by Derek Forbort, and that's almost the story of the game. If the game ends in regulation with the Jets winning, if it doesn't go to overtime, if the Habs don't complete the comeback, I think the story of the game from the Jets' perspective is the aggressive pinching from the defenseman, the two by Forbort that led to the first two goals, and then the Morrissey one that led to the third goal. That, to me, is going to now get lost a little bit in the shuffle of the game because it ended up being an overtime contest.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question, Drew. I think you're right. I think that was the play that caught my eye. I mean, Derek Forbort being aggressive, jumping into the play, really setting up that first Jets chance. And, you know, that was kind of the way the Jets needed to start this game. This is a team that, you know, they weren't feeling particularly great. And so you're thinking to yourself, okay, we've got to come back and have a better effort. And this mini homestand, go on the road. They're going on the road for seven games. They know they're going to have a tough game tomorrow in Edmonton. There's no question about it. So they figured, we've got to be able to, you know, have a good start. So they had the good start. And again, a lot of that, to your point, will be big pitches on Forbort's, on account of what Eric Forbort was able to do.
Yeah, there's no doubt, Dave. You know, I was just going to say about that third period. I mean, it's so hard. Like, it's easy for everybody watching at home to point out that the Jets were, you know, badly outplayed and outshot at points of that period, or for the majority of that period, right? But, you know, it's a mini home. It's a very weird stretch here, and it's a very busy stretch, right? Like a mini two-game homestand between a five-game road trip and then a seven-game road trip, where you know you start that off tomorrow, right? Like, it's not like you're flying into Edmonton and you're going to have the day off tomorrow and then you've got the game Friday night, right? Like, this is the toughest part of the schedule. And thus far in March, the Jets have been doing very well, right? But I think, you know, this is going to be a key point of the season to see, you know, if the Jets are able to stay, you know, in the top two in the division, or if a team like the Edmonton Oilers is going to pass them, right? Because we know now the Jets are only two backs of the Leafs, but they've only got the one game in hand now. But the key thing is that they're only 2 points back, whereas, you know, 3 weeks ago, the Jets were 9 points back. So there's no doubt that that was a tired group. You saw that, you know, when the Adam Lowry line was stuck out there with Derek Forbort and Neil Pionk, right? And give Brendan Gallagher a lot of credit. Like, you guys know I've been that big Gallagher fan. Like, if you're a parent or a hockey coach of a young player, like, show them tape of Brendan Gallagher playing hockey, and that's how you work hard. And, you know, you get credit for your hard work, because most of his goals are like that, right? Like, it's based on, you know, a stick check, a turnover, you know, scoring the goal, like, off of a rebound. Like, he's not a guy, he doesn't score his goals, Dave, like Nick Ehlers, right? Like, the fancy, pretty goals off the rush, or, you know, going, you know, past a forward and a defenseman. But, you know, you could see that Neil Pionk and Derek Forbort were a little bit tired out there. I thought Josh Morrissey and Dylan DeMello, you know, at times they look tired and they were getting hemmed in their own zone. But at the end of the day, guys, they get the 2 points, and it wasn't the fashion that you would like to get the 2 points when you're up 2-0 and up 3-1. But hey, like, when your schedule is this condensed and you have all these road games coming up, you'll take 2 points every day of the week.
Yeah, and I think, Ezzy, I think that's a good point. And I think that's, you know, again, it's resiliency. I mean, you don't like to see what happened in that third period. You need to have an answer for that, because the fact is, if you want to be a playoff team, if you want to be a Stanley Cup team, you can't allow the other team to push back on you for that pretty much the entirety of that period, the way Montreal did. And don't get me wrong, teams are desperate and they're going to push a little more aggressively than they do. They get a little bit out of their structure because they're trying to get back in the game. And obviously they had to pull the goalie to get that equalizer. But at the same time, you got to be able to match it, and you have to build a game plan for what's going to happen when that other team, because again, you're always going to get a pushback. It's how you answer that pushback. And so the Jets weren't able to do it in regulation, wanted an overtime. So to your point, of course you want to win. Of course you want to have those 2 points, feel good on the road, especially, like we said, it's not an easy road trip, seven games out west, weird start times. So it'll be very interesting to see how this plays out. But again, important 2 points.
Yeah, and the 2 points is obviously the key to the game. Okay, Jets head coach Paul Maurice coming up right now. So let me get that all set up, and I'll bring in the Jets head coach. Give me 1 second here, folks, if you can be so patient.
And we'll get going with Paul Friesen from the Winnipeg Sun. Go ahead, Paul.
Thank you, Gregor. Paul, a good lesson to learn, or would you rather not still be learning that one?
No, I don't think that's prevalent in our game. We've been a really, really strong third period team, but we, you know, we didn't move the puck. And they're a real good team in terms of getting on top of you. I thought we made good decisions in the first period about when to make a play and when not to make a play. We came off those good decisions. Part of it was their aggressiveness. You know, we had a lot of icings there in the third period, and I thought we had places that we had placed. But I don't, like I said, Paul, I haven't found that to be part of our period theme for our team at all. We've been pretty strong there in the third, and you know, we'll take the 2 points, find a way to win. You don't want to give up two goals the way we did. You find that desperation in all of these games. They're going to, you know, they did things in the third period they won't do in the first or second, right? I mean, their D were below our goal line consistently, and we were able to use that, but the first two periods didn't get to use it in the third.
We'll go next to Ken Weave from Sportsnet. Go ahead, Weaver.
Paul, you said this morning you're not concerned by the lack of points for Pierre-Luc Dubois. Was that a matter of why? You just felt it was a matter of time based on how he was playing?
Yeah, I think that this line, because we have three, you know, really unique players in some ways, it's going to take them a little time to find each other, to find the rhythm of who's going to the net. And you know, you've got guys, wings are just shooters, right? And they play their best when they think like that. And probably, you know, Pierre-Luc would have recognized that right early on, and he was trying to make a lot of plays, I think. Tonight he pulls puck, shoots it, and Kyle gets to the net and scores a big goal for us. So there's that will develop as they get to know each other. They're dynamic, right, with that speed on the wings and with Pierre-Luc's size. We think there's a lot there. It'll just take some time.
We'll go next to Mike McIntyre from the Winnipeg Free Press. Go ahead, Mike.
Just on your three goals in regulation time, there seemed to be sort of a common theme to those in that your defenseman, Derek Forbert on the first two and then Josh Morrissey on the third made, you know, really timely pinches to keep pucks alive. Is that always a risk reward thing? Because, you know, Montreal's first goal may have been a similar kind of play too.
No, you're 100% right. Right. We were 3-1 on that. And most times you're either right or wrong on those pinches by what your forwards are doing. And Kyle, on Josh's pinch, Kyle comes up as the high man, right, and gives Josh kind of the freedom to hold that pinch. And then, of course, he goes back down and goes to the net, eventually scores the goal. So we felt that didn't carry much a lot in game one set. In that there was a place for us to do that. I think, you know, and it happened again when we got a defenseman kind of over pinched on the wall and we ended up giving a chance that we didn't need to give. But there is, it's not even risk reward. There's a time and place for that. I thought we, for the most part, had it pretty good. Like Edwards did a lot of those pinches. And we think it's an area that we can explore a little bit more.
We'll go next to Murat Atesh from The Athletic. Go ahead, Murat.
Paul, just following up on those same goals, it looked like a textbook demo of that cliche. We just need to take away their time and space as your forward forecheck on those plays as well. Was it satisfying to kind of flip the script the other night?
They're so good at it, right? Every team has strength. I think that's Montreal's strength, their ability to get on lock and then stay on it from above. And we were able to find that. We didn't like our forecheck in game one. We thought we were loose on it. And they had a lot of really clean, easy. So we were better in that. Sure.
To Sean Reynolds from Sportsnet. Go ahead, Sean.
Hey, Paul. I just want to be clear. Are you saying that you asked your defense to pinch more, activate more, be a little bit more aggressive because of things you didn't like in the series earlier? And no, if so, is the risk reward you're talking about, are you okay with some of the mistakes that are made tonight trying to get the balance right?
Yeah, for sure. I'm okay with it. We were asking our forwards to license to the do that. Like, we thought it was the first game, but made good decisions not to pinch because our forwards, I don't think they had done enough to help that, to make it a safer play, right, in that risk-reward idea on that spectrum. So our forwards really good up tonight of allowing those pinches to be meaningful, that if they don't go and we don't keep the puck in, there isn't a cost to it. So I thought our forwards had a big part in those pinches.
Ken Weave from Sportsnet. Go ahead, Ken.
Well, just looking ahead to tomorrow, what's it meant for Warren Brossoit play the way that he has for you when you have a...
So you're just assuming... And I appreciate that assumption. Lauren Brossoit and Thompson's line, right? The two big pieces to being able to win back-to-back games or at least be competitive in back-to-back. You need a goaltender to go in that you believe in, and his numbers say we absolutely should. And then when you look at the numbers from tonight's minutes, to have a fourth line that can play at the three-minute mark of the third period with the goalie out in transition on that shift and be real strong and valuable, that's held everybody's minutes, so that our should have some good legs for tomorrow night's game.
Thanks very much, Coach.
Some good legs for tomorrow night's game, and obviously the Connor McDavid and Winnipeg Jets. Big 4-3. Game road trip.
There we go. We're back. There, Jets head coach Paul Maurice. We suspected it was going to be a brief media appearance tonight, and I do not think we were wrong on that front. The Jets obviously have to catch the plane, get back to Edmonton for tomorrow night's contest between the Jets and the Oilers. A very busy time. The Oilers and the Flames are doing battle tonight in Calgary, in fact. So the Oilers are going to have to travel a little bit as well. I believe it's 3-1 still for Edmonton over the Calgary Flames. Just checking to see if that score has been updated at any point in time. Interesting comments from Paul Maurice. 3-1 Edmonton. I was right about that. Interesting comments from Paul Maurice to me. You know, brief, but interesting about the, I think, use of the defense and maybe the strategy as it pertains to pinching defense going forward, especially on those plays at the along the boards and, you know, a couple steps in from the blue line. If you remember back a few years ago when the Jets had the defense of Byfuglien and Trouba and Myers and were, you know, frankly, I would say a better defense than they currently are, that was one of their MOs, aggressive at the opposing team's blue line. Last year, we know that they were way more passive. I wonder if now, you know, as we're halfway through this season, if we're going to see the Jets try and get a little bit more aggressive. Maybe Paul Maurice has a little more confidence in his team right now.
Yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying, Drew, but, like, you know, it's personnel, right? Like you just mentioned it, the Jets' defense as it's currently constructed is not what it was back in 2018, and that includes Derek Forbort. Like, Derek Forbort is not an offensive-minded defenseman, and I'm not saying that you can't give him credit for the plays that he made in the first period, because obviously those were great plays, but that's, you know, very basic hockey there, right? Like, that's the type of pinch that you want to make in that position. So, you know, Paul Maurice even mentioned that in the press conference. Like, I don't think that, you know, it's a plan of the coaches to necessarily be more aggressive, you know, from one game to the next, because that's a situational play. Like, that's a decision that the defenseman has to, and you saw Logan Stanley made the wrong decision when he half committed, and then he obviously got caught on the Phil Deneau goal, right? And obviously we're not picking on Logan Stanley here, but you know,
let me stop you for a second there, because last year we know that it was a decision the Jets made to be more passive at the opposing blue line, where we heard that, you know, Paul Maurice wanted his defensemen to back off the play, a function of bringing so many new defensemen into the lineup. What you're hearing from Paul Maurice there is that they no longer need to be as passive. In fact, when there's an opportunity for them to be aggressive, he wants to see them doing that. So that, to me, is a bit of a fundamental shift in the approach, especially as it pertains to defensemen at the offensive blue line.
Yeah, I mean, sorry, I thought you kind of interrupted Ezzy, so I assumed that you were going back to him. But anyways, no, I think you're right, Drew. I think it is it seems to be a fundamental change from what he saw last year, and perhaps maybe because this defensive core is a little more comfortable with each other now, he's changing things up and he's allowing them to make more aggressive plays. I actually thought Tucker Poolman made a bit of an error on that original, the Logan Stanley pinch. They both looked like they were kind of half going. They both kind of bit, and so kind of, I think, fainted the other guy out. But the reality is this, you know, this is a Jets team that recovers well after losing, right? They're, what, 9-0-1, I think, after a loss. So after a regulation loss or a loss, I think, in period. So this is a Jets team that's been able to bounce back. It's what we've talked about. It's, you know, even though they weren't consistent the entire game, they've been consistent all season in avoiding the letdown, the allowing you. And again, it's a function of they're not going to get so high off this game, because the reality was they didn't play particularly well in the third period, and they built up a lead that allowed them to win the game. But the truth is that it's not something, it's not as if you're going and planning a parade route because of that game. So the truth is, I think that's important, because I think, look, you're only at the midpoint. The season isn't over. It's not as if you've got to be playing optimum hockey at this very moment because you're going into the playoffs. You still have an opportunity. Look, Pierre-Luc Dubois is getting more and more comfortable on that second line. I thought he looked better throughout the course of the game. Ehlers, even though it's funny because I think Nikolaj Ehlers described his game as, he played like shit. His words, not mine. But the truth is, I think that you've got guys who are slowly gelling as a line. You know, when you add a guy like that into that group, it's a different sort of mix, right? So I think that this Jets team is slowly building up momentum. And again, that's the key, is that unlike other teams, you're not seeing those big, long losing streaks. And to me, that's been the key all season long.
Right. And
there's point there. Sorry, as you go ahead.
There's no doubt that, you know, Connor Hellebuck in this particular game deserves a lot of credit for, you know, keeping the Jets in the lead and getting this team the win, right? And I think, you know, you make a good point. Like, I mean, the Connor Ehlers Dubois line was really good. There's no doubt about that. I mean, obviously Connor gets two goals there, but Ehlers and Dubois were also very good. And I thought the power play was good, even though there weren't any results on the power play. But there's no doubt, guys, that, you know, this team is having one period almost per game where they're getting badly outplayed. And I do think that's concerning. And I think when you have great goaltending, sometimes it does cover up those warts. And again, I don't think it's necessarily one D pair, because I think Dylan DeMello up with Josh Morrissey has improved that pair. I think we've talked about that quite a bit, that's your shutdown pair that you would like to see. And Logan Stanley and Tucker Pullman have certainly been better than Nathan Beaulieu and Tucker Pullman have been. But I think when you have these stretches of games, like, look at the Jets could have easily won that game. It could have been over. When the Jets went on that power play, if you remember, in the third period, they score their game over. It's 4-1.
Yeah.
The Habs aren't coming back down three goals in the third period at the end of a road trip with Connor Hellebuck in net. And obviously the pushback came, and, you know, we talked about it. I mean, Brendan Gallagher's goal is an individual effort, great effort. And then with the extra attacker on the ice, I mean, it's an odd man situation. And give them credit, Corey Perry finds Tyler Toffoli at the side of the net. And, you know, Toffoli's a sniper. That's what he does, right? So I think, yes, Dave, I agree with you that, you know, they're on a nice streak here. The month of March has been very, you know, fruitful for them. But, you know, a lot of that is on the back of Connor Hellebuck. And again, I'm not apologizing for Hellebuck's play, because he is the best goalie. I think we need to start talking about Hellebuck as a Hart Trophy candidate. That's what I think we need to start doing. Wow. And I think a lot of people thought that should have been the case last year. But maybe because the Jets were a fringe playoff team, you know, before the pause back in March, maybe he didn't get as much consideration, right, guys? But I think you can't, like, and that's why Dave talked about, you know, the frustration from some of the players on the Jets that they didn't play very well, because, yeah, you have a great first period, you go up 2-0, you're happy, you're thinking, like, you know, we're having a pretty good game here. But the second and third periods were not good.
Well, you know, and you talk about, I agree with you, Ezzy, the when you have a two-goal lead, especially entering the third period, you know that the Canadians are going to be pushing. You know that they're going to come at you quickly. And the Jets, just the entire 20 minutes of that third period, never had an answer for them. And I know Montreal is you know, they have a – I like watching Montreal play hockey. They're fast. They're talented. The way they use their sticks, and we talked about that on Monday night, the way they're able to knock down pucks and steal pucks, particularly on the forecheck, is really something that is remarkable, that I really like to watch just from an observation point. But for the fact that the Jets had no response to the Habs push for the entirety of that 20 minutes, I don't think can get lost in the fact that, yes, the Jets still get the 2 points. But I do think that there needs to be a little bit of attention paid, to your point, Ezzy, to how poor that third period was for the team and how they had no response to what they knew was coming.
Yeah, and look at what happened in the last game of that three-game series in Toronto, right? The Jets had arguably their best overall game, best defensive game of the year. So we'll see what happens tomorrow night. They're obviously going to be tired. We know that. But sometimes, you know, that's a good thing, and you're able to, you know, use that adrenaline and whatever gas is left in the tank, right, boys? So I don't think that the Jets, that's lost on the Jets, how badly they were outplayed, especially in the third period. But it's something that you wonder, guys, like, you know, is this a sign of something bigger here? And by bigger, I mean, like, is this a team, you know, that really does need to acquire a defenseman here in the next week or two, or, you know, 3 weeks? We've got 3 weeks to go before the trade deadline. And again, you know, it goes back to, I've told you guys this before, I don't think bringing in Matthias Ekholm is going to be the panacea. Like, one player does not make an entire team better. It can definitely have a big impact. But hockey's a team game, so the Jets have got to be better defensively. We saw that a couple of games ago against Toronto. We know they can be better, but you're right. I mean, when the Canadians were really pushing there in the third period, the Jets were on their heels, you know, iced the puck a few times, and they were really, quite frankly, in my opinion, just lucky to get to overtime.
Yeah, I can't argue with you, Izzy. I think that, you know, this is, again, this is a team that has warts. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. But at the same time, it's also the team that's 2 points out of first place with, what, one game or two games in hand, one game in hand on Toronto.
One game in hand.
So, I mean, you've got a team, and Izzy, you made the point earlier, they were at 1.9 points back of Toronto, and now you're 2 points back. And again, Toronto doesn't play again until Friday. So if the Jets go into Edmonton and beat Edmonton, and Edmonton is up 5-1 right now over the Flames, and
6-1 now, Dave.
6-1, sorry. Yeah. So 6-1 over the Flames, which means that Edmonton, even though they've played three more games than Winnipeg, will have the same number of points. So they too will be 2 points back of Toronto. Of course, the Jets will have three games in hand on the Oilers. But this is a team that has flaws. And again, I think you looked at that third period and you thought to yourself, okay, they always say the two-goal lead is the hardest lead in hockey to hold. But the truth is, you didn't have an answer. You know, like I said, I think for maybe about a minute, and that's being generous, they had pushback in that Montreal zone by the first line. Other than that, and you know, the one thing that to me was a little odd was, or at least unusual to see, was the Kopp, Lowry and Appleton line was getting pushed around a little bit and kind of being bullied a little bit in the Jets zone. It's not something you usually see. I thought that, you know, the Jets were a little casual getting pucks out, especially in that third period. I mean, I thought there were, I would say, at least half a dozen times where the Jets actually had possession of the puck and then just didn't get it out of the zone. And I thought to myself, guys, you're protecting a lead here. You got to at least, you know, I'm not suggesting don't ice it, but at least get that puck into the neutral zone. And again, I get that they're tired and they're, you know, there's an exhaustion factor, but at the same time, I mean, you're trying to protect the lead and again, you want to win in regulation. So to me, that was one of the things I thought was a little unusual, especially with that third line, was we weren't seeing the crispness that we're used to seeing from Adam Lowry, Mason Appleton. And Lowry got that hit in the first period that may have wounded him a little bit. And he was on the bench, came out, played next shift, actually got a penalty on that next shift. But, you know, to me, there just wasn't that crispness that you've come to see, and that expectation that they can really hold the fort. If, you know, the other team is pushing, you can get a little bit of a pushback with that third line. I didn't see that from the Jets in that third period.
You make a very valid point there, Dave, that the Jets needed one of those shifts or a couple of those shifts from a line that usually does that. And to your point, it usually is the Lowry, Kopp, and Appleton line where they can play for 60 seconds or 75 seconds in the hab zone so that it's not wave after wave after wave after wave. And you could see, I thought from the defenseman point perspective, which you were talking about there, Dave, where when they had an opportunity for what seemed to be a clean breakout, it never materialized. I don't know if it was a function of panic. I don't know if it was a function of them being tired. But in the third period, they weren't crisp, and Montreal obviously was able to jump on them and take advantage of that over and over and over again. I'm looking here on my second screen, the possession numbers for tonight's game. Well, I mean, the only possession positive player for the Winnipeg Jets was Pierre-Luc Dubois at 54.55%. That's at even strength, 5-on-5. The next best was Nikolaj Ehlers at 50%. Other than that, everybody else was just totally caved in. I mean, the fourth line, and I found it interesting because Paul Maurice talked about the fourth line during his remarks and gave them praise. I mean, I'm looking at the possession numbers here. Matthew Perreault, 14%, Corsi 4. Nate Thompson, 16%. Trevor Lewis, 9%. Corsi 4 in tonight's game. So the Jets, you know, after a first period that was very even, and you might even say, obviously, that the Jets had the advantage on the scoreboard, but you might even say that the Jets had the advantage overall. You know, the second and the third periods were basically mostly Montreal. And as a result, the Jets are really, you know, they get 2 points. They were fortunate to get the game into overtime the way the tenor of that third period was shaping out by there, Ezzy.
Right. And, you know, it goes back to what we were talking about a couple of nights ago, right, with Jansen Harkins. Like, again, I hate for those who are listening every night, but I mean, is this not a great opportunity to put Jansen Harkins in when your fourth line didn't play particularly well? You're in the second game of a back-to-back. It can give you a little bit of energy boost when you know the boys are going to be tired, right? So who knows if Paul Maurice is even contemplating that, and not just Paul Maurice, but the rest of the coaching staff. It's obviously ultimately Maurice's decision. But like for me, Dave, like this would be a great opportunity to put Harkins in, not saying that that's going to necessarily be the difference between the Jets winning and losing tomorrow night in Edmonton. But if there is ever going to be an opportunity for him, it seems like it would be at the beginning of this road trip, wouldn't it?
No, I think you're 100% right. And that's what we talked about, I want to say like a month ago. It's been a while, but I mean, that's one of the biggest things we talked about was the fact that you have a taxi squad, and the whole point of a taxi squad is it gives you a luxury of players. And we know that the Jets obviously, two of the moves they made today was reassigned Eric Comrie and Ville Heinola from the Moose to the taxi squad. They're going to bring them obviously onto the trip to out west. So they'll have those two guys in addition to the other guys that they have on the taxi squad. But, you know, to me, Jansen Harkins is a guy who, you know, he's got to be ready to go. And you know, again, give a guy like Nate Thompson, Maurice loves Nate Thompson. There's no question about it. We know that. We've talked about that a lot. But to Drew's point, he mentioned him specifically on the post game, you know, to give praise,
blocking shots, everything like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. But the reality is, again, you're gonna need some fresh legs. You may as well do it. The Oilers are playing right now. They're probably in cruise control. I don't know how much time is left in that game, Drew?
12 and a half, 11 minutes, and it's now 7-1 Edmonton.
Okay, so I mean that game's in cruise control, but the reality is, you know, you could give these guys are veteran guys. I mean, they're, you know, Trevor Lewis, Nate Thompson. I thought Matthew Perreault actually was okay. I mean, but to me, it's an opportunity to give a young guy who's been on the bench for a long time, who's ready to go, an opportunity. And to me, why wouldn't you? Because you could use fresh legs, a fresh jump. And what a bonus. I mean, this is a luxury you don't have in any other season, is to have a taxi squad that you can take advantage of. So if you don't take advantage of it, you're hamstringing your team, and you're not using an asset that you have at your disposal. So to me, it's just a coaching error. I'm not saying specifically to Jansen Harkins. I'm just saying to have a taxi squad and not use it, I think, is a mistake.
Well, just going back to that, sorry, Drew, I was just going to say, going back to that 7-1 lead right now for Edmonton, it's actually absurd that McDavid is up to 56 points now. Like, it's absurd. He could hit 100 points easily in a 56-game season. Like, it's crazy. Like, I don't think it's really being talked about enough because, you know, on a nightly basis, we're talking about the standings, right? Like, the Jets and Oilers are neck and neck, you know, the Canadians are a few points back, and then obviously, you know, the Jets are now only a couple points back of the Leafs. But like, what McDavid is doing this year is crazy. I don't know any other word to explain it. Like, is the Hart Trophy race even close? Like, I realized that, you know, I was saying earlier that Hellebuck should be in that conversation, and I do believe that, but like, is anybody picking anybody else aside from McDavid right now?
Only those who are being deliberately argumentative and are being disingenuous with their arguments would choose anyone other than Connor McDavid right now. And Jets fans obviously have to hope that he's getting most of his scoring out of his system tonight against the Calgary Flames, and maybe he'll have a normal, maybe, you know, 1 or 2 points tomorrow night, as opposed to whatever he's doing against the Calgary Flames tonight. You know, to your point, Dave, though, I want to circle back to that for a second. I mean, you know, if you're the Winnipeg Jets, if you're Paul Maurice, and I mean, when you say if you're Paul Maurice, that's always a bit of a difficult preamble to start a question with, because we tend to know how he thinks and we often don't necessarily agree with it. You watched your team tonight. You know the heavy amount of games that are upcoming. You know, aren't you sending a good message to your team if you tell Ville Heinola, you know, Jansen Harkins and Christian Veselainen that, you know, you're going to be in the lineup tomorrow and we're going to rely on you, and you're going to maybe even take the opening face off for some of those guys just to get their energy? These are guys who've been obviously, you know, have been dying for the opportunity to get back into the game on a regular basis. And so as a result, now I don't know who you pull out necessarily. I don't know if you pull out, you know, Thompson and Lewis, or you pull out Perreault and Thompson, or whatever, whoever you want to pull out. That's up to, you know, obviously Paul Maurice. But it just seems like such a almost a quote unquote no brainer of a time to get started with some of your taxi squad players tomorrow night.
Yeah, I mean, worth noting that Christian Vesalainen is still with the Moose. He wasn't recalled.
Sorry, yes, he wasn't recalled. Right.
So Christian Vesalainen is still with the Moose with David Gustin and the other prospects. But no, I mean,
look. Hard to keep track this year.
It is.
That's why we have a little thing on illegalcurve.com called the transaction report. Every time there's something that moves, and it shows you who's on the taxi squad in case you have questions. But no, I mean, look, it's no question about it that, look, Villainola, I've watched his games with the Moose. He's been very good. His decision-making has been excellent. Now, as everyone who watches the Illegal Curve Hockey Show knows, I'm of the opinion that if you have a prospect and you're not playing him in the NHL, he should be playing in the American Hockey League, playing big minutes. And the truth is, all of those guys, Vesalainen, Perfetti, Heinola, I mean, there's a whole host of Chisholm, Kovacevic, there's all these young prospects, 4D, Gustafsson, I have to mention. Those guys are all benefiting from playing things and Sandberg and doing things that they would never be doing with the Winnipeg Jets. And that's always the key point, right? People are like, oh, you know, but remember, Heinola is not going to do what Josh Morrissey is doing. I mean, again, you might want him to, but the reality is he's not going to be quarterbacking the power play. He's not going to be doing a lot of the things that the Jets, you know, want him to be doing with the Manitoba Moose. So that's why it's good, because he's playing power play. He's playing penalty kill, you know, and again, same for Sandberg, same for Gustafsson, same for Vesalainen. That's the one thing folks have to keep in mind. These guys are getting way better experience. Now the Moose are not playing till the 25th of March. So they've got a bit of a gap in their schedule. And so it was 12 days between games. They're practicing a lot right now. So you could have called those guys up and you could have given them the opportunity. I agree with you, Drew. And I have to think, to Ezzy's point, that you're going to get Heinola and Harkins into the lineup, because why would you call them up? I mean, you could say, well, we want them to practice and that sort of thing. But I have to think. And again,
they're not going to be practicing. I mean, how much practice are they possibly going to get on this road trip?
You know, it's still the taxi squad and that sort of thing. But anyways, I'm of the opinion that you would have a much better benefit for these young prospects and your team overall, because to the point that Ezzy's made and I've made and you've made, again, your taxi squad is an asset. So use that asset. And again, Billy Heinola, fresh legs, hasn't played in a few days. Played really well in the last game for the Manitoba Moose when they beat the Red Hot Stockton Heat, no pun intended, kind of, that had won 8 or 9 games in a row. And then Heinola was excellent. So you've got Heinola who's feeling good. He's feeling comfortable. He's got 10 points, I think, in 16 games for the Manitoba Moose. He's looked good. Jansen Harkins, you know, he's had a tough season. There's no question about it. He's been injured. But we know how hard a worker he is. We know how intense this kid is. And we know that this kid is going to be ready for his opportunity. So there's another asset. Just use them. It just doesn't make sense, because if you're going to use these, if you want to insist on using these veterans, and again, he's the coach. Paul Maurice gets to make these decisions. You don't make them. I don't make them. The fans don't make them. But you also have to give these guys a little night off. They you know, it's kind of like a goaltender. Don't play them back to back.
Yeah. Ezzy, final thought to you tonight. We remind everyone after Ezzy's final thought, more post-game coverage with our buddies Ken Weeb and Sean Reynolds. They have their post-game show. They're going to get that fired up any minute now as we wind down. They're going to start up, so you can just head over to their feed to keep the post-game conversation going. Ezzy, final thought from you.
Yeah, Drew, just following up on what Dave said, I think there's absolutely a good chance that you're going to see, I would put money down, if I had money in my pocket to put down, Billy Heinola, you know, playing on this road trip. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's, you know, earlier in the road trip, but certainly, you know, towards the end of that road trip, guys, you've got 3 games in 4 nights against Calgary. So, you know, if you don't see Heinola in one of these 2 games against Edmonton, and as we talked about, you know, 10 minutes or so ago, I mean, Edmonton's putting up 7 goals against Calgary last time we checked. So I wouldn't be surprised if Heinola comes in for the second game. There's obviously a really low chance that he plays tomorrow night. But I think it's going to be very exciting to see what he can bring to that Jets defense. We obviously know as Dave mentioned, what he's been doing with the Manitoba Moose, and then obviously, you know, what he's done last year and, you know, at the international level with Finland. But that's going to be something to watch, and it's just going to be really interesting to see how the Jets do on this road trip, considering that it seems like there's a game every single day right now, Boyd. So it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a tough road trip, but 2 points back of the Leafs. I mean, what more could you ask for, right?
Well, a win, the win is the win that the Jets needed tonight. You don't necessarily love how it came to be, but they did get the 2 points, and the Montreal Canadiens only got one.
And by the way, what you could ask for is to be ahead of the Leafs.
Well, that, yes, that's the only thing you could ask for. That's true. Dave, one final thought from you?
Final thought is just, I want everyone to smash that like button. I want everyone to hit that subscribe button. Come on, people. This is important that you know, sustaining for the Illegal Curve Pogs game show, the Illegal Curve Hockey show. So make sure you've hit that like and subscribe button and ring that bell.
Can't you take that mask off now? I don't see anybody around you.
I'm just blocking. Off, but I don't think so.
No, Dave's got it. The policy is clear. If you are in the arena watching the game, no matter even if you're doing a post-game show, you must wear the mask.
Is that an IC mask?
I see. Didn't you notice?
Where's mine?
Dave gave them to, he kept one for himself, and he gave the other two to our photographers. Don't worry, it's okay. I'm sure that you and I didn't want an IC mask or anything like that.
Big Daddy could have used one.
Well, Big Daddy, there's no mask that's going to get around that beard there, Big Daddy. Let me tell you that. Nothing is going to get around that beard. On that note, we clearly run out of content for tonight. We remind you, go check out Ken Weeb and Sean Reynolds. They're going to get started any minute now with their post-game show. We want to say a big thank you to our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Bernstein's Deli, Zappia Group Realty, and Boston Pizza. They support the Illegal Curve Hockey Show so that this post-game show is a possibility. We'll be back again tomorrow night with another post-game show. And of course, Saturday morning, 9 a.m., the regular Illegal Curve Hockey Show will be live here on YouTube and all of our social media feeds. For the bearded one, the heavily bearded one, the man who puts my beard to shame, Ezra Ginsberg, for Dave Manuk joining us live from the arena, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Thanks for very, very much for everyone joining us. This has been the Illegal Curve Post-Game Podcast.
Keeping Winnipeg laughing for over 30 years. Rumors, Canada's longest-running comedy club, bringing you the biggest laughs from the best comedians on the planet. Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett, the greats, and all the up-and-comers, too. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends, or book your office or birthday party. Even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
Hey, Drew.
Ezzy, whoa, what a smile!
Yeah, I got my crowns done at Linden Market Dental Center, and they whitened my teeth.
I see.
They're so bright that every time I smile, they go,
"We have hockey tonight. Do you have a mouth guard to protect those pearly whites?"
I sure do.
Whoa, they even ting through the mouth guard.
Linden Market Dental Center covers all your dental needs, from restorative to cosmetic dentistry, and will fit you with a sports guard for that active lifestyle. 877 Waverly, see lindenmarketdental.com.
Hi, it's Drew from Illegal Curve here. Selling your home can be stressful, but it wasn't for me. Thanks to my friends at Zappia Group Realty, they made the process so easy. My home sold within 48 hours and with multiple offers. Zappia Group Realty took care of everything with their exquisite customer service and attention to detail. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, get started by talking to Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty. Online at zappiagroup.com.
While you can't always count on your team winning, nor your favorite player scoring, one thing you can always count on is Bernstein's Deli. They've expanded their services because the team at Bernstein's Deli wants to accommodate your needs and keep you safe. Open Tuesday to Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. to serve you. Head to your phone, in-store or online to shop for groceries or order meals from the restaurant, like the legendary Illegal Curve Sandwich. Just go to bernsteinsdeli.com.
So you're a pizza person, you married a wing person, but somehow your kids are salad people. You can't pick your fam, but you can pick your BP meal deal. Starting from $18.99 for takeout or delivery at bostonpizza.com.